Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him, said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day," and they were greatly distressed. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Keep in mind that this is right after the Transfiguration on the mountain. And so then, keeping that in mind, we see that as he comes off the mountain, there's not much time that he gets to sit back and relax, or, you know, be away from crowds or demands of him, because immediately there came a crowd. And this man comes up to him and says, "Have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and suffers terribly." And he states that he had brought this one to his disciples, and they could not heal him. Well, Jesus does heal him, rebuking the demon. The demon comes out of him, and the disciples ask, "Why could we not cast out this demon?" And he says, "You didn't have enough faith." I think that we've seen quite well with the disciples that they have these moments of a pinnacle of faith. And then the next moment, Jesus tells them that they are of little faith. And so they seem to be going up and down and up and down in their faith, probably because of the moments that come their way. Maybe we are somewhat similar. You know, there's one moment in which we're very strong in our faith and we have no doubts, and we're be able to stand strong against opposition or temptation or any such. But then another moment when we've gotten back into doing the normal things of life and getting caught up in, you know, chores and errands and everything else, maybe our faith isn't quite as strong. Maybe that's what's going on with the disciples. You know, you've got the Transfiguration on the mountain. Yes, we've heard a voice from heaven. We're, you know, strong in faith at that moment. And then not long after that, you have the crowd. They get back into doing their normal things, and maybe they're just not having that moment of faith. And it could be that this is a longer time that's passed since this man brought his son to the disciples. But nonetheless, I do think that we see that up and down of faith in his disciples. What's important to realize is this was not a limitation of the power of God. This was a limitation of man. And Jesus says the limitation was their faith. Right after this point, then we see Jesus telling them again, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him and he'll be raised on the third day." And it says they were greatly distressed. It's not the first time they've heard this, but they're distressed at hearing it again. Jesus is reinforcing this on several occasions in order to prepare them. Not that it will keep them from scattering nor having questions among themselves, but so that they could remember this at a later time. This goes along with our discussion Sunday evening, this past Sunday, about predictive prophecy and whether it comes true or not. Well, it does come true. Jesus has told them about it. And so it will be a bolster for their faith as they carry out their work as apostles after the resurrection. Then Peter is questioned about this 2-drachma tax that is for the temple. And they ask, you know, does your teacher not pay the tax? And Peter answers yes. And perhaps that's an impulsive answer. Because when he comes to Jesus, Jesus begins to ask him, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" In other words, does the king's son have to pay the taxes of the king? And Peter says, no, the taxes for others. And Jesus said, then the sons are free. Well, he doesn't come out and give him a really pointed answer, but he still answers the question and says, I don't have to pay the tax. I'm a son. He says, however, not to give offense to them, go to the sea, cast a hook, take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take it and give it to them for me and for you. There are many things that the leaders of the Jews accused Jesus of, and they were usually regarding tradition. He did not keep the tradition of the elders, that type of thing. This was a matter of law, and even though Jesus would not have been required to pay this tax because of who he was, he did not want it to appear in any way that he was not keeping this particular law, and so he provides the means for this to be kept, and so Peter was to pay this tax. Perhaps this might also be because Peter's already answered that question in the affirmative, yes, we pay the tax. In other words, Jesus didn't want there to be any stumbling block that is put in the way of those that might truly be listening, might truly be paying attention, maybe even just being on the fence. He did not want to create any problem that could be legitimized in any way as far as those accusations against him. It's interesting, too, that if you consider the role of miracles, to confirm the word, then you also realize that as Jesus makes the claim, Son of God, and not being required to pay that tax, he then backs it up with a miraculous event in which he provides the money to pay the tax. Just something to think about. We are to be like Jesus, though, in that we need to be careful that we don't create stumbling blocks for others by asserting our own rights. You know, if it's a situation in which I can help things along for a brother or sister or somebody who is first developing faith and asking questions, then, you know, it's okay for me to set aside, you know, whatever that might be. As long as I'm not sinning in the matter, then I should not be creating a stumbling block for others. These are good things to think about today, and I hope that you will continue to pray that God may be with us all. Thank you for listening.